with the introductions, let's launch right into our program. What I'd like to start with is an understanding from each of our panelists as to three issues. Let's pick just three issues that you view as the most significant today in the data privacy arena. What issues are game changers? Which are the topics that you see as most dramatically altering the privacy landscape going forward over the next few years? Why don't we start with Billy?
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, Lisa. In terms of my three priorities, I'm actually going to start with perhaps an unusual one, is addressing the issues that matter to people as reflected in their complaints. These are mainly complaints about local companies failing to respect data protection rights, like sending unsolicited marketing, failing to respond to requests for access to personal data, using data for purposes other than for which it was gathered, and failures in data security. I think my second priority would be working with government bodies to ensure they do not overstep the mark in their processing of personal data, particularly seeking too much personal data and sharing it with other public bodies for unrelated purpose. And last but far from least, continuing to work with internet companies with European headquarters in Ireland, for example, Facebook, Google, LinkedIn, on their compliance with European data protection law and working with other regulators both in the EU and regulators like Jennifer to that end.
Terrific. Thank you, Billy. Well, I'm sure we're going to touch on all of these topics in a little bit. Jennifer, could you comment, please?
Yes, certainly. Some of the things that I think are going to be game changers, and I think a variety of regulators are thinking about, are, first of all, in my mind, the tools we need to do better enforcement. You know, some of us talk a good talk, but we don't walk the talk. And increasingly, I think European data protection commissioners are getting more significant powers. I think across the EU that is being discussed, and certainly in the review of my law next year, I am going to probably ask for greater powers in terms of having more accurate tools. Secondly, I think we have to pay attention to new concepts that are coming to the surface. In the Israeli Data Protection Conference, there was quite a bit of discussion about deleting information, the right to be forgotten, basically, in civil law, and how could we deal with that? How could it be incorporated into our experience with online personal information gathering? The UK office has come out with, I think, a very good reflection on the types of personal information. And in the United States, you're used to doing personal information, then PI, and then PII. That really, I think, is now being dropped for another context, the one we always used in Canada anyway, of contextual personal information. The EU has the concept of sensitive data. How are all these going to be useful going forward? And the UK data regulator is trying to say, well, some things are personal information in certain situations, but per se they're not personal information. How do we categorize these? Thirdly, I think in the coming years we're going to have to look at the issues of proof of harm for privacy breaches, how this has generally led, I would think, to very few sanctions around the world, either in lawsuits or in regulatory action. So you're profiled by behavioral advertising in your online experience. What happens? Nothing for the moment. And I think this is because we're over-reliant on the proof of harm. I think we'll have to go beyond that and try and find a way of sanctioning meaningfully privacy breaches that may eventually harm people, but the proof of harm, I think, may not be necessary. So this would suggest moving from the harm principle to the dignity principle. So those are my three.
Those are very, very interesting. I will note, Jennifer, as to your second point, that there is debate in this country as to, in the U.S., as to what is personal information. And Hugh can certainly elaborate on that. The two bills that have been bandied about in this year in 2010 both use the term covered information rather than trying to characterize data as personal information or something else. So I think that'll be interesting to think about going forward. Hugh, could you tell us what's important on your agenda?
Sure. Thanks, Lisa. And obviously, trying to pick three issues here is an inherently sort of gives a personal take on this rapidly changing area. But if I had to name three kind of game-changer areas, I think the first that I would pick would be rethinking privacy in light of technological development. I think a lot of the legal structure in this area was built 20, 30 years ago when technology was in a different place. There have been since then a lot of changes in a lot of areas. The sheer volume of information that moves around, the way it moves around, has changed dramatically. And so you have at my agency in the Federal Trade Commission, you have elsewhere in the United States, you have in Europe with the European Commission, you have internationally the OECD, a rethinking of what exactly the principles should be and what and how it all should work. Second issue I would flag, which I think Jennifer has already mentioned, is enforcement cooperation and maybe the mechanics of enforcement generally. This is an area where the agencies, I think, started out with certain limited tools, but it's an area where effective, meaningful enforcement and enforcement cooperation really requires more thought and more work, and that seems to be a particularly important area internationally in terms of data moving around internationally and accountability following, needing to follow that data. The third area I would highlight in particular would be the topic of behavioral advertising. Maybe this is in a sense a more particular application of the changes in technology, particularly regarding the internet. We've seen a growing sophistication in the way information is captured, the amount of information that's captured as we all move around the web, and it's certainly an area where there are concerns, and as I think you mentioned, Lisa, that there are issues about maybe that's not necessarily all immediate causing immediate harm, but it is causing concern and is an area where we have been looking at what kind of principles should guide conduct in that area.
Thank you, Hugh, and I'm sure everybody's interested to know what those principles will look like ultimately. All right, let's start with some of the bigger picture issues. Billy, I'd like to address the first question to you, certainly with lots of follow-up from the panel. Last November, the EU Directive on Privacy and Electronic Communications was revised quite significantly. The revisions included a number of important new features that EU member states will now need to transpose into their national laws by June of 2011. So I'm sure they're working hard on that as we speak. One of the new features is an obligation to notify the supervisory authorities and also telecom users of data security breaches. Now, some EU countries already have adopted breach notification laws or guidelines, maybe not legal mandates, but strong recommendations, and they've done that on their own initiative. Do you see this as a growing trend in the EU? Is there consensus about how data breach notification ought to work? How will companies deal with multi-jurisdictional data breach issues when they have to deal with different member states? Because, of course, you never have in your database information only about, or rarely, only about people from one country and not folks from many, many of the member states.
Okay, Lisa. Yeah, I think we are going to see a general data breach notification system introduced at EU level. As many of you know, the European Commission has launched the process of amending and updating the present General Data Protection Directive, And in its communication, which it issued last week, that's like a policy statement, it specifically mentions the likelihood, I think, or at least it says it will examine if a general data breach notification system should be included in the future EU regime. And it specifically mentions the issue of who such notification should be addressed to and what thresholds should apply. So I think, as you know, these are key issues in terms of the reporting burden on companies. So I think we can expect a big effort to have the same rules apply across the EU. Indeed, the issue of a more harmonized application of EU law is an important theme in the Commission's communication. Now, I think it would seem reasonable that any breach notification requirement would draw on the requirements included in the revised e-privacy directive that you mentioned. Now, the revised directive shows a significant effort, at least by EU standards, to ensure that the same system applies in each member state. For example, it prescribes notification to the supervisory authority in all cases and notification to individual subjects subject to a harm test and an exclusion if the company can satisfy the supervisory authority that security on the data was such that it would be unintelligible to a third party. There's also provision for further technical harmonization measures. So by the time the revised General Data Protection Directive is finalized, the EU should be able to draw on the experience of implementing the e-privacy directive to ensure that a single system applies across the EU. So I will be moderately hopeful that there will be a large degree of harmonization, so you would not face too much, at least, divergence in the way in which a general law is applied in individual member states.
Thank you, and hopefully you'll learn from our experience in the United States on this issue. Boyana, could you comment from an industry perspective?
Right, absolutely. And in fact, I loved Billy's last comment. I'm moderately hopeful to be seeing, right, some of harmonization and harmonized approach. Look, you know, this is clearly, and I absolutely agree that we're going to be seeing this in Europe, and I think that the danger is that we end up with a patchwork approach, perhaps even to what you guys have got in the US. And I think really we have to start approaching even security breach notification as a global issue, you know, learn from the lessons and experiences we have seen in the US dealing with, you know, state laws for the past 2-3 years. So I would hope some of those learnings and experiences would percolate through the European legislative mind as well, in particularly, you know, what triggers a notification, what sort of data has to be compromised or breached, what sort of event that has to be, you know, whether encryption perhaps is a default exception and defense or not, you know, who has to be notified, et cetera. And, you know, I really do hope we get somewhat harmonized approach, because otherwise it is going to be costly and difficult, a little bit more what we have got in the US. The other problem around security breach notification is sort of the extraterritorial application of these laws, right? So, you know, who is this going to apply to? I mean, as is the case in the US at the moment, no matter where US data is compromised or there is an authorized access, we have to notify now. Is that going to be the same in Europe, right? European data, or is it going to be European data controller? I mean, what I'm trying to say, there are lots of things to think about, lots of small little detail where the devil is hiding. And I think that's what I'm looking for, to get some clarity around that.